Well, praise the Lord for that special this evening. Make sure I'm on here. All right. I'm not used to talking into a microphone. My pulpit in my youth room doesn't have a microphone. We're going to be in the book of Matthew tonight, Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, as you find your place, if you would stand for me. Matthew chapter number 14. We're going to be looking into verse number 22. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, from the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come to you today, God, just to thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the many blessings, Father, and the safety that you've provided for us, God. We thank you, Lord, for these seniors that we recognize tonight, Lord. We pray that you would bless them and their lives just as they go on this next journey in life, God. We pray that they would be looking to you for guidance and structure on how they are to live, God. We pray that you'd be with us now as we get ready to get into your word, Lord. I pray that you'd be with me. Give me the words that you'd have for me to say, Father. We do love you, and we thank you for everything. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So where we pick up in this passage of Scripture, some major things have just happened at this point in Jesus' life. John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, the one who paved the way for Jesus, he has just been killed. And not only that, but not long after that, Jesus was going away to the desert to pray, and at this point in his life, he had began to have a following that came with him, that would kind of follow him to hear his words being preached. And as he went away to the desert to pray, this following followed him. And when he saw them, the Bible says that he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. And the Bible also says that he healed them and he also fed them. We see here that this is the story of the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus, he's met with this multitude of people, and he preaches them, he heals them, and then they realize that they're hungry. Jesus realized that they're hungry, and they only have a little bit. There's only a couple loaves of bread and two fish, and Jesus takes that, and he performs a miracle. He performs a miracle, and he feeds this 5,000. And then we get into the passage that we're on tonight, and we see here that there was something that Jesus was trying to do. There was something that he was trying to get to. The Bible says that Jesus constrained them when it talks about putting his apostles on the ship to send them away. And then it says that he sent the multitudes away. What Jesus was trying to do in this passage of Scripture right here is he was trying to get alone with God. He was trying to have a little bit of time to himself where he could go and he could pray with the Father. Prayer is something that is very, very important in our life as a Christian. I know this is very common knowledge to most of us here tonight, but we find that Jesus sought time away from the busyness of his life and all that he had going on, the miracles that he was performing, just to spend a little bit of time with his Heavenly Father. He wanted to spend time with God. Can I tell you, this is what can make and break us in our Christian life. Psalms 42, verse 1 and 2 says, As the hart, which means deer, panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God, when shall I come and appear before? As the life of this deer depends on this water, our life depends on God. I know that it's possible to live a life outside of a life with God, but that's not the way that God has intended it. God has intended us to be able to depend on Him. That's why He's there. He created us for His purpose. He created us for His pleasure. And that's what we need to live our life according to. And we find here again that Jesus, He went to God to pray. We need to spend time with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We have a communication line. I don't know if everybody's aware of this, but we have a communication line where we have access. There's no limit to how much we can talk. There's no cap on how many minutes we're allowed to talk. There's nothing like that, but we have an unlimited access to fellowship with the Father through prayer. We can pick up that phone at any moment in our lives, no matter what it is that we're going through, no matter any hard time, whether it's a hard time, whether it's a good time, whatever it may be, any hour of the night, we can call out and He will answer. And sometimes I think we take that for granted. We look past the fact that we have this unlimited access to the one who created all things. He's the one that created us. He's the one that created this world. He's created everything that you walk outside and see. Sometimes I feel like we lose sight of that. What Jesus was doing here is He was going to get into His prayer closet. He wanted to have some time alone with God, establishing the relationship that He desires to have with God. We need to be disciplined when it comes to our life and have a place where we can go and get alone with God, just us and Him. Something that I love that our pastor does is he comes here on Saturday nights before he preaches, and this is his prayer closet. Last night I wanted to come up here because I'm preaching tonight, but I knew that would not be a good idea because this is his prayer closet. So I came in early this afternoon, and I had my time in this prayer closet with just me. We have to have time where we spend time with God. I mean, as a father, I love hearing my kids speak to me. I love it. I told her I wasn't going to mention it, but today is my daughter Kinsley's birthday. And I love it when I get home from work or whatever it is, and my children, they run to me. They run to me and they tell me about their day. They tell me about who was mean to them. They tell me about how they got in trouble, whatever it may be. But I love that. Can I tell you, God loves that when we come to Him. God desires us to come to Him in prayer. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. He went to God in prayer. I'm sure that there were many things that he needed to talk to God about. He had just found out that John the Baptist had been killed. He had just performed a miracle, and I'm sure that performing miracles is not something that just takes no energy out of you. I'm sure it takes every bit of energy that you have. When I compare that to preaching, people think that preaching doesn't take any energy because all you do is stand, but really it wears you out, okay? That's what he was doing. He was confiding in his Father. But then as we move on in this passage of Scripture, we get to the part where it talks about how he sent them out to the sea. Jesus put them in a boat and he urged them to go. And the Bible says that they were in the midst of a storm. Now, something I want you all to notice here is four of these men were fishermen. They knew their way around the water. They knew their way through storms. And the Bible clearly states that this was a big storm. If these men were afraid, it tells you that this was quite the storm. If they were afraid, then it was obviously not your ordinary storm. But something I want to look at is verse number 25. Verse number 25, it says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. So what does that show us here? That shows us that when we're in the midst of a storm, when we're in the middle of a storm in our life, Jesus is there. He comes to us. He sees us. He sees the things that we're dealing with. He goes out and he wants to be with them. God is with us in the midst of our storms. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'm pretty confident in the fact that I can stand up here this evening and say that we all will go through storms. If we have not yet, we will. Storms are going to come into our life, and storms come in many different shapes and sizes. storms come into our life, whether it be through health. Maybe we just found out that we are diagnosed with some chronic illness. Maybe we just found out that a loved one of ours has been diagnosed with an illness. Maybe we're just suffering from some minor things, but it just keeps getting us down. That's a storm. Maybe it's our finances. Maybe we just found out that at the end of the month, our job is no longer going to exist, and we don't know what to do. Maybe you're having a hard time in your marriage. Maybe you're having a difficult relationship. Pastor preached a powerful message this morning on marriage, and can I tell you, it's real. We have troubles. We have storms in life. Maybe it's death. Maybe you've lost a loved one recently. Can I tell you, each and every one of these things that I've just listed here is a storm. And if we don't think about it right, we might lose sight of the fact that in our storm, God is with us. God is with us in our storms, just like he was here with these men on this boat. But something else that I want to look at in verse number 26, it says, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear." Sometimes we might not notice him. We might not notice him, but he's right there. He's right there behind us, right there beside us, holding our hand, guiding us, waiting for us to cry out for help. He's there. If you look at verse number 27 down to 30, it says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" When Peter heard Jesus' voice, he instantly knew that it was him. They weren't sure. They thought it was a spirit. But when Peter heard Jesus' voice, he knew it was him. And he knew that God was with them. Jesus was with them. I love what he does here. "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." Of course, if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Peter, you know. Peter's the one who's kind of the crazy one of the group, I would say. And then Jesus said, "Come. Come." You know, some people think that Peter was testing Jesus here, and I don't see that at all. That's not what I see. I see Peter looking at Jesus, and he's realizing that, you know, he's seen Jesus perform these miracles and feed 5,000 plus people with a couple things, and he's seeing the great things that Jesus has done, and he's seeing Jesus walk on water, and he's saying, "This is the Messiah. This is God." And he sees this and he asks, "Lord, can I please come out there?" At that very moment, Peter had faith that God would let him walk out on that water. That Jesus would say, "Come." And he did. And the very next thing, and I'm sure that the other men in the boat, they're probably thinking, "Peter, what are you thinking? What are you doing? You can't do that. You know how deep it is? You know how big these waves are? You're going to sink." Peter said, No. He told me to come. He told me to come. He knew that Jesus was capable of letting him walk on water. He begins to step out, and the others are probably questioning what he's doing, but he was stepping out in faith. By getting out of the boat, he was stepping out in faith. Can I tell you, staying in the boat would have been the safest thing for Peter. That would have been the safest thing that he could have did was stay in that boat. And he knew that Jesus was out there. He knew that Jesus was going to protect him. The safest thing for him to do would have been just to sit tight and relax. Wait out the storm. But he didn't want to do that. He wanted to test his faith. He wanted to take a leap of faith. He took that step, knowing that it was God that told him to do it. Can I tell you, if you never get out of your boat, you'll never know what it's like to walk on water. If you never get out of your boat, you'll never know what it's like to walk on water. How many of us stay in the boat without exercising faith and walking in the fullness of what God has for our lives? Sometimes we are placed in situations where God wants us to get out of the boat, but we don't have enough trust or faith in him to do so. Can I ask you a question tonight? What is your boat? What is your boat? Your boat is what represents safety and security apart from God. If you want to know what your boat truly is, you'll know what it is when fear comes. Your fear will tell you what it is. When fear sets in, where do you turn apart from God? Teenagers, is it your parents? Congregation, is it your family? Is it your friends? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it your spouse? God can be telling you to do something, but if you're too afraid to get out of the boat, you're not going to be able to walk on water. Peter demonstrated faith that Christ could sustain him when he walked in obedience to his command. Now, graduates, here in just a couple of months, because school's almost out and you're going to have summer vacation. But after that, there's going to come a time where you're going to have to get out of your boat. You're going to be out of your element, whether you're going off to college, whether you're going into the work world, whatever the case may be, you're going to be out of your element. You're going off to college is going to be different than what you're used to. You're not going to be in your comfort zone. You're not going to be in your boat. I trust that you've prayed about what God would have you to do in your life, and you're ready to trust in him, to follow him, and to get out of your boat when he tells you to. Now, parents of these graduates, in just a short couple months, you're going to have to get out of your boat. You're getting ready to send your kids off to college. It's going to be hard. You're not going to be able to have control over them like you want. I mean, you're going to be able to know where they're going and what they're doing on their phones and stuff, but you're not going to be able to have them in your home, and it's going to be tough. You got to remember, God's with them. He's right there with them. You're going to have to get out of your boat and let them go. I can say this like it's very easy because I still have several years before any one of my children have to go off. You got to get out of your boat. Let Peter be an example to both of you in what happens next in the passage. After Peter takes his step out in faith and everything was fine and great, and he begins to walk on this water, and he's looking at Jesus, and then the boisterous waves hit. That's what the Bible says, boisterous waves. They come up, and he begins to lose sight of what he was looking at and focus his attention on these waves. He became afraid. And at that very moment, when he took his eyes off God and began to sink, he was focused on the things around him, not God. Can I tell you, we might not actually be walking on water tonight, but if we focus on the things around us in this world, on the waves and the difficult situations in our storms or in our times of stepping out in faith and take our eyes off God, we will do exactly like Peter did here and begin to sink. We will begin to sink. We must stay focused on God. Lastly tonight, I want to look at verse number 32. Verse number 32, it says, keep doing that, turning the wrong page. It says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God is in control of everything. You look at the situation that they were in, and this storm was just not some ordinary storm. This was a mega storm. This is one that we hear about on TV, and this is massive. But as soon as Jesus stepped onto that boat, it stopped. Completely stopped. That shows us that he is in control of everything that takes place in our lives. He knows everything that we'll go through. He knows every storm that we'll endure. He knows every trial that we will face. And he's there with us. He is in control of every little thing that we go through. The wind ceased. What is it that God is calling you out of your boat to do tonight? What step of faith is he wanting you to take? Graduates and everyone else in here tonight, when you take your step out onto the water, just don't take your eyes off him. And he'll work everything out according to his will. Like I have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Father God, we come to you tonight, Lord, just so very thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us, God, for how good you are to us, Lord, and the fact that you're with us in the storms that we go through, Lord. We just cannot thank you enough for that. Father, we come to you now just to pray that that you'd be with us just as we go through our storms, Lord. Just give us wisdom. Help us to look to you, Father, to seek your will and your guidance and how it is that we can deal with those, Lord. Father, we do want to thank you once again for these graduates and the life that they've been able to live, Lord. And we just pray that you'd be with them as they take this next step in their life and in their journey, Lord. And we just pray that you'd just guide them and direct them, Father, the way that you'd have them to go. Lord, we do want to tell you once again that we love you and we thank you for everything. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.